to Christians facing persecution. This passage from John's Gospel is part of Jesus' farewell address to his first disciples, which is intended to prepare them for challenges they will face after his departure. And the purpose of these verses is to explain why the world hates them, to show them how to respond, and to protect them against falling away when persecution comes. Jesus gives us first, in verses 18 to 25, the reasons for hatred. First reason, the world hates Jesus. John 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you. Remember words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they'll obey yours also. They'll treat you this way because of my name. They don't know the one who sent me. In the New Testament, the word world sometimes refers to the whole world as a created order, or to the human world in a neutral sense. But here, it conjures up something different. It means humanity in its fallenness and darkness, which are expressed in an ideology and practice that excludes the true and living God. This world hates Jesus and hates Jesus' disciples because it first hated him. And this world, our world, will respond to them as it responded to him. Because if we're believers, we bear his name. And because it does not know the Father. The world against Christ does not know the Father. And Jesus goes on and says, the second reason is the world hates the Father. Whoever hates Jesus also hates his Father. If Jesus had not spoken his word to the world or perform mighty works among them, their rejection of God would not put them in the wrong. But now their hostility to Jesus and the Father are inexcusable. They've hated them without reason, so fulfilling an Old Testament prophecy. Psalm 69, verse 4, those who hate me without reason outnumber the hairs of my head. Many are my enemies without cause, those who seek to destroy me. Or Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That's true for you. If you're living the standards of the gospel, people will not like you for it. I have a friend who was working in a surveying business in London, and he became a Christian, and he suddenly, with all his other colleagues, he started doing his expenses properly. He had terrible vitriol when he only claimed what he should do for work, because a lot of them were using the entertainment allowance to entertain their girlfriends out for dinner or whatever, and he just claimed what he was using. And he told me about the hate it stirred up, that he was showing up by his righteous living the ungodly behaviour of others. That was somebody who, living a godly life, discovered persecution. But what should the response to hatred be? Jesus talks about that in John 15, verses 26 and 27. When the counsellor comes, whom I'll send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you've been with me from the beginning. When Jesus sends the Spirit of truth to his disciples from the Father, his role will be to bear witness to Jesus. And the disciples are to respond to the world's hatred in the same way, by bearing witness to what they know about Jesus. It is also laid upon us the need to be ready for hatred, the readiness for hatred. That comes in chapter 16. All this I've told you, so that you will not go astray. They'll put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he's offering a service to God. They will do such things because they've not known the Father or me. I've told you this, so that when the time comes, you'll remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first, because I was with you. Jesus is giving this teaching to the disciples so that they will not abandon their faith. The severe persecution that they may suffer at the hands of a world that knows neither Jesus nor the Father may tempt them so to do. But when it happens, they can now remember that Jesus warned them in advance, and their faith in him will be strengthened and not weakened. Let me conclude. This passage assumes that Christians should not expect the world always to regard them kindly. Indeed, that they are to expect the world to be their enemy. But for those Christians who do face hatred, this passage makes sense of their suffering in terms of hostility of the world towards Jesus and his Father. It outlines response required of them to bear witness to Jesus with the help of the Holy Spirit. And it provides a necessary preparation for them by giving notice of what Jesus' disciples can expect to undergo because of his name. In all these ways, it helps them not only to prepare for persecution, but also to endure it. And I don't know what's going to happen here in the next 10 or 20 years for being a Christian, how it might hit us, but actually we should be prepared. And knowing Christ's promises, we can endure. Amen.